We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, but starting in Ephesians chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. God, through Paul, writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." And if you spend any time in Ephesians, you know that after that comes the whole idea of being strong. But he actually starts in chapter 1 with that same thought. So let's turn there. We're going to just read Ephesians 1 through 14 and verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he set forth in him, regarding his plan of the fullness of times, for the bringing all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in according with the plan of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is a first installment of our inheritance, in regard to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." Just a short prayer. Father, pray that the reading of this word and the words that I'm about to speak would bear fruit in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Please, Lord, guide my words. Please. In your name we pray. This message is really for two groups of people. Those of you, as we know today, there's a great deal of things to be anxious about, right? There's just so much bad news in the media. Maybe you've got illness, but anxiety and depression and worry, it's just running rampant, even in the church. So that's one group of people this message is for. The other group is for those of you who aren't going through something like that, but know someone who is. And I want you to be strengthened to help them through their trouble, through their anxiety, through their depression. For God's word gives us that here. So we're all in one, or maybe you're in both of those groups. But you're in one or the other. So we start to the saints who are at Ephesus. And when I read something like that, I read to the saints who are at Harvest Bible Church. These scriptures are to you, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 3 to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Think about that. You, if you are in Christ, if you have been born again, if you have been chosen by him, you, as it says, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every. Not just a few, not just one or two. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Just as he chose you, us, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. Just think about it. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. You have that ability. Yeah, I know. I still sin. I know you all do too. But we've been called. We've been given the righteousness of Christ. You know, even when we mess up, we're clothed. God doesn't see that. I mean, it's forgiven. It's all my future sins, my past sins, my present sins, they are forgiven. Yours are too. And we are clothed in the perfect life of Jesus Christ. So when you start getting down, when you start getting anxious, remember that. That you have the perfect righteousness of Christ. Yes, you've been called to be holy and blameless. And you are in God's sight. So that when you struggle, you can claim that. And it's no spurious claim. It's right there in Scripture. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read verses 3 through 14 and rest in those promises. They're there for you. So holy and blameless. And of course, in love. It just wasn't a capricious action on God. I'm just amazed at how God has poured His love into the hearts of His children, you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard my witness before that, you know, your love, God's love, has been poured out on Wilma and I over this past year. It's just been phenomenal. But it's God's love through you. And it's an amazing thing. But in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself. Again, I'm going to say think about this, because we need to meditate and think about the Word, especially when we're down, or if we have a loved one who's struggling, or a friend who's struggling. Think about this. Now, you have been adopted. Now, some of you have had that actual occurrence of being adopted by your parents. And what an amazing thing. Especially if you were older and you can actually know what was going on. But you all, us, we've been adopted by God. He loves us so much. He looked at you and said, "Mine. I want you to be my son, my daughter." That's a promise to you. So when you're struggling, when anxiety begins to creep up your back, and you're just like you just can't get away from it, rest in knowing you are God's son or daughter. He loves you. The Creator of the universe has chosen you to be His daughter or His son. I mean, that alone is a great thing. Just when things get rough. So think about that. Meditate on that. You know, it's according to His good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory of His grace, which He favored in us, the beloved. I mean, He was happy to do this. It says His good pleasure to adopt you. His good pleasure to love you. It wasn't like He had to. It's like, oh, you know, I got to get somebody, so, you know, we'll pick up him. No, it was His good pleasure. He sees you and He rejoices. He sees you as when you pray. He sees you when you read Scripture. He talks to you through the Word. It is His good pleasure to adopt you and to love you and to call you His own. And it was to His glory. And we all know that, right? We're here to glorify Christ. That's one of our primary jobs, if you will. But it's not a job. It's a joy to glorify God in everything we do. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of His grace. Because we had such short notice, I didn't know what songs Ben was going to choose this morning. But as we were singing them, we're going, that ties into what we're talking about here. So you know, go back and look at those hymns. And it talks about this. It talks about the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace. I don't know about you, but I look back over my 70 years and I see a lot of unpleasant things that I'm guilty of. Y'all who know me close know some of those stories. But we're all compared to God, compared to the creator of the universe, we are all we're dirty. Sorry. But we're all dirty. But he has cleansed us by his blood. The forgiveness of our wrongdoings, the forgiveness of our sins, by the glory and the riches of his grace. What a marvelous thing to ponder when you're struggling. That you, his child, have been forgiven by his amazing grace. It's done. There's nothing you have to do. It's a wonderful thing. And he's lavished it on us in all wisdom and insight. And he's made known this mystery of his will. I mean, what greater mystery is it that he chose me, you, to be his child, to forgive you, to call you into eternity with him, as opposed to the other option? I mean, that's a huge mystery. Why did he choose me? Why did he choose you? He's got plans for you. He's got things he wants you to do. But that's a different sermon. According to his good pleasure. And it was according to his plan, the fullness of times, to bring all things together. And verse 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the plan of his will. His will again, not happenstance, not chance, but by divine providence, he predestined an inheritance for you. A magnificent eternity with the Lord. That's what you have. And exactly what that's going to look like, I mean, people, you know, poets and songwriters have thought about that for years. But it's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. And you have that inheritance guaranteed. It's not a, well, maybe if I'm good enough. Well, maybe if I persevere. No, if you've been called by God, you will persevere. God will bring you through to the end. And you will have this inheritance. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the keeping. And it's according to his plan that we were who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. There that praise of his glory is again. And verse 13, in him you also, after having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, the first installment of our inheritance. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I can venture to say that none of you are stronger than God the Holy Spirit. You can't. Once he's laid hold of you, once he said, mine, you're his. You're his. These promises are yours. So when you're struggling, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody or somebodies who maybe have a health issue going on that's really plaguing them, or maybe you watch the news before coming to church today. That'll give you some anxiety, but you don't have to stay there. God wants you to have these promises. He wants you to, when you have, you know, in your devotion time, read these verses 3 through 14 again. Spend some time pondering them. Get them into your heart so that when those attacks come, you can rely on them. You can say, no, Paul said, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Well, that strength of his might is the might that he used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. If you continue to read in chapter 1. So he's given you that strength. The same strength that he used to take our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was dead and in the grave, and raise him from the dead. He's given you that strength in these promises. They're there for you to rely on, and for you to help a friend, a brother, a sister when they're in trouble. And it's all to the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been at this church any length of time, you know Nate has a wonderful facility to weave the gospel into his message. I'm not Nate. So what I'm going to do is read Peter's gospel that he preached. Well, it's the gospel that Peter preached to the Gentiles, to the first Gentiles that came to Christ. This is from Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing that happened throughout Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses of all things that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he be revealed, not to all people, but to the witnesses who have been chosen before him by God, that is us, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to testify solemnly that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify of him, that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." This is the very word of God. And if there's anyone here who is hearing this gospel for the first time, please see Matt or myself or somebody else in the church. I'd be glad to talk with you and just go over it. If there's somebody here who's hurting and wants us to sit and talk about what we've talked about this morning, I'd be glad to spend time with you. So let us pray. Father, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for your word that gives us such wonderful promises. We give you thanks, Lord, for your gospel of truth, that we can be saved if we believe. And we just pray, Lord, that everyone hearing my voice would be saved. Please, Jesus, we ask all this in your holy name. Amen.